We're on a small country road in North Cork. There's a man out of his car and he's cleaning his windscreen.
For every opportunity we give it a good clean.
He's getting ready for a rally in the area. Ireland's pretty unusual, actually. We close off public roads to allow rally cars to race along them. This man, Brian, is driving the stages before the rally, making notes about them, which he'll sell to coal drivers. They're called pace notes. I'll explain them a little bit more in detail later, but at the moment, Brian is cleaning the windscreen of his car so that the camera he set up inside can get a good picture of the road that he's filming.
It's critical that we keep the screen as clean as we can. Because the camera's mounted so close to the windscreen, every wee spot and every fly mark comes up like a really distraction, so we keep it as clean as we can.
Still, the sound of a cloth squeaking on a windscreen is not the sound you'd expect to hear in rallying in Ireland. This is more of what you'd expect. Or, if you live in a town, in a rally area, you'd expect to hear this. This is Fermoy in North Cork, and we're here because I want to bring you behind the scenes of an Irish rally weekend. We're going to meet a family who've chosen fantastic names for their children. A brother and sister who hope to get their car home without damaging it, some hope. And we'll follow a family who found an unusual way of making money out of rallying. We're going to focus on the co-drivers and the navigation notes they use. And why rallying? Well, I've been reporting on many sports over the years, but there's something about rallying for me. The camaraderie, the sound of the engines, the skill of the mechanics and the drivers, and the enthusiasm of the volunteers. Back to the opening of the rally weekend.
Well, we're at the beginning of the Cork 20 rally, and as usual, we've got the ceremonial start.
Thank you very much, Salute.
The usual announcer is a man called Dougie Hughes.
International tarmac champion.
And he's been doing this for years.
Champion as well.
30 years.
What age are you now, Dougie? You're in your 80s, aren't you?
82. I had a stroke in Waterford. It was the lady doctor. She says, I hope you don't mind me telling you that you have tissues of a teenager.
You hope the teenager wants them back. Is that what you're trying to say?
Now, are you going to spray the celebration champagne, Donut?
So long are you going to keep this going?
I want to beat my father. He died at 92.
Right.
And I was saying that to Donut Kelly yesterday, and he said, don't tell me, he says, we have to listen to you until you're 92.
when the cork is popped, we want to give you three cheers.
As well as Dougie, another fixture at the rally opening is the Rally News TV crew.
Roll it.
So, Donna, what a surprise. A new hat, a fabulous poster and more champagne. What a year it's been.
Yeah, it's unreal. It's just, it couldn't be any better, you know. And the finish off the year here in Cork.
Rallying can be dangerous. We know that. There have been deaths and injuries among competitors and spectators, and yet the fans still turn out. In fact, there's plenty who come along precisely because it's dangerous. Rallying had its heydays in the 70s and 80s, but now, like all other sports, it's competing against other distractions like computer games. And if you turned up to a rally, you'd find no shortage of fans, mainly older ones who'll tell you it's not like it used to be.
One time, if you left home and all you'd want with you was a vice grips, a flat screwdriver, and a Phillips, and your car wouldn't break down, you'd come home. The cars today, I think, are too advanced, too powerful, and it's nearly driven on computers.
I'm learning so much!
Whatever about the older rally fans, the drivers and co-drivers are still, to my mind, full of excitement.
I love it. Yeah. Love it. Yeah. Wouldn't be here if I didn't.
Sure. This is Alison Leavis from Skibbereen, and she's a co-driver.
Already I'm starting to feel a bit getting the buzz on, but it's good. It's responsible, especially in these stages when they're fast, you can't be missing out on anything.
Sure.
There's no room for error.
130. Mid-troop up, junction, straight on, 100.
This is Alison calling out directions from pace notes in a previous Cork rally.
Two laps, 150.
The driver she shouts out the pace notes for is her brother Adrian.
I could never hop in with a co-driver that I didn't trust.
They haven't done many events together and they're just really getting used to each other.
One right at the house, 60. To your left into one left, be brave.
So what you're doing then is you're picturing the road in your own mind as the notes are coming towards it.
Three right, two left into one left. 400 up the middle.
And if the co-driver gets it wrong, basically it's a ditch, I think, in a way.
No pressure.
That is how much you depend, like.
It's the evening before the rally. All the cars are gathered in a car park behind a Cork hotel. This is known as Parc Fermé. As well as the cars, there are companies selling all sorts of rally paraphernalia. Adrian is buying tyres for his car, a Honda Civic.
And that should last you the weekend.
I think so.
Just one set per rally, isn't it, basically?
Well, top boys are using a set per service, like.
The service is the rally version of a pit stop in Formula One. So the top rally cars might cover, say, two stages, which is around 20 minutes rallying, and then they put on a new set of tyres. If a set of tyres costs a grand, they'll do 16 stages per rally. It means they could be spending up to $8,000 on tyres alone.
I generally try to get away with one per rally.
Now, when you think about it, it's an incredible expense. Now, that's on top of the cost of the car. The rally cars may have the same shape as ordinary cars, but that's where the comparison ends. They have roll bars, they've tuned their engines, they've got rally seats and so on. The professional rally car alone could cost close to €1 million. It's a very different league from Adrian and Alison's Honda Civic.
I'll tell you, I do not own a car. I do not have a road car because my hobby is rallying, and to keep a budget for that, I don't pay any tax for a car, I don't pay any insurance for a car, I don't pay any diesel or petrol for a car. I just drive my father's van, the wife's car, whatever, just to keep things down. I drive oil trucks, that and part-time farming, one and the other.
And you love it?
I love what, rallying?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I wouldn't change for anything.
Do you?
Absolutely, yeah, like, you wouldn't be here, you wouldn't be doing it if you didn't. There's nerves involved in it, but they're good nerves. There's an adrenaline you won't find in anything else until you come and do a rally yourself, like, and feel it. Like, it's just, you couldn't compare it. you're sitting there, you don't really know how you're feeling, and then it's 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, you're gone, you're on your notes, your concentration mode has to go in, and there's no going back, and you're just in the zone then, like.
To your right, the hairpin left. And three right, 40 up the middle, two right, and one right over bump.
The way I would explain it is, say a stage takes 10 minutes, right? For 10 minutes, you're free.
Yeah.
It's you, the road, you forget about anything. Yeah, you're free.
And one left over crest into six right. One left into six right and five left.
You think about nothing else, yeah. You're
in that zone and that's it. Yeah.
To very open,
that's
square right.
Why we do it.
It's like tunnel vision. That's it, like.
Square right.
You don't have time. You're at that speed, you don't come off it, you're just going.
Mid-through junction, 400.
You're not on Facebook, no. Or Snapchat, you're not checking in.
Hi. This is Adrian's new son.
It's Jake Leavis.
He's come along with his mother, Claire.
He's 10 weeks since Wednesday. He wants his little boy to come and see him, and he's a bit young to be taking out watching stages, like, but I'd say it won't be long before he has his suit on either. He has no choice, the poor creature. It's going to be bred into you, isn't it?
Very first interview, Jake.
Alison doesn't have much time for chatting with her baby nephew. She's homework to do in her own car, which she says has a funny smell from her job.
Stinks of fish.
She's a chef, but this evening her job is to go over the pace notes for the opening stages.
Make sure it's all clear to me and that I won't be getting tongue-tied on any of them when they come up.
She doesn't actually do her own pace notes. She buys them from Brian Patterson, the man we heard cleaning his windscreen earlier in the programme.
I just literally have a look through them. I'm not going to change anything now at this point.
Mind the bail, head. Mind the fucking bail. Cursed Jesus Christ. Ah, Jesus, we're going to be stuck.
Pace notes are a fascinating part of rallying. They include the distance in metres up to the next corner.
250 up the middle.
And then, on the corner, they use numbers to describe the degree of turn.
Long four left, A chicane left entry.
So a one, for example, is a sharp right or left turn. Four is a faster stretch of road. And a six or a seven is pretty much flat out.
Three right, 170 bumpy, OK.
The reason for pace notes is straightforward. If the driver has someone telling them what's coming up next, how sharp the next turn is, for example, then the driver can keep their eyes on the road and concentrate on driving as fast as possible while keeping the car on the road. Co-drivers swear by their pace notes.
There's so much time in notes and understanding notes and getting the best from notes. Probably a lot of people don't appreciate it. Notes, in my opinion, are as important as an engine or a gearbox.
A co-driver makes a mistake, it's worldwide headlines, and if they win a rally, it's the driver who's won the rally. So as we always say, we don't win rallies, we just lose them. But look, we regard it like a caddy. They need us.
70 bumpy, crest only 45, less slippy.
YouTube actually is a good place to go and see how pace notes work, or in this case,
70 bumpy, okay.
Don't work.
Steady her up now.
That's more than a three, lad.
Well, you marked it down, it was a four, yeah, but 170 bumpy, crest only 45.
This is a famous piece from an in-car camera of Neil Hickey and Enda Kennedy.
It's fairly flat up along here now. Oh, Jesus Christ.
They were competing on an Irish forestry round in 2013.
Oh, Jesus, we put Don Co on that. Post off left entry.
130. Fast right. 40.
Things, though, are far less chaotic and a lot more sedate for the Pattersons.
This could be caution. Medium left into square right plus over mud.
130.
Brian, who you met earlier washing his windscreen, 100. And his son, Michael.
If we're coming home from the pub with my friend and I say it's 130 yards to the pub, they think I'm a bit of a geek.
Fast medium right.
They have a pace notes company.
100.
It's weeks before the rally and Brian and Michael are driving the stages.
Fast left, 60, fast right, 100.
Brian and Michael both have war stories from times left. When they competed as rally co-drivers.
60. I got invited by a top rally team to come and do the Donegal International Rally in a Group N Renault 21 Turbo, which was a very fast car in a straight line, but not very good around the corners and terribly bad over bumps, with a Texan oil baron who really had a great ambition, but in reality he wasn't very good. So the first 4 miles of the first stage were pretty daunting. This car was very fast and out of control, but the first proper junction was a hairpin over a bridge, and it was uphill and there was a bump and he broke a drive shaft. And well, I wouldn't say it was relief, but I thought there was inevitability that was probably the best option that would have saved the car and possibly both of us as well. Chap never really came back rallying after that.
I was asked to step in at the last minute for a Scottish bloke who drove a 3-litre Capri on the Ulster Rally. And we went down the first stage and I was reading bits of notes to him. It wasn't so sophisticated in those days. And I was thinking, boy, this guy's good. This is unbelievable. On the second stage, he had a big shed, just drove straight into it. And I suddenly realised he was actually out of control most of the time. So it then became the longest rally of my life because he went that slowly for the rest of the rally. I was falling asleep on the stage, just trying to read the notes and not fall asleep.
Fast right. 40.
Brian and Michael are in a car stuffed with recording technology.
Solid-state rally computer. It's accurate to 10/100,000 of a metre.
Because as well as selling the drivers a booklet of pace notes, they also sell them a DVD of the course, showing the dips and bumps and particularly how tight the corners and turns are.
Fast medium right. Opens.
There are two cameras in the car. One is pointing out through the windscreen to show the road.
100.
That's the camera Brian was cleaning the windscreen for earlier.
Fast left.
The other camera is over the driver's shoulder, pointing at the steering wheel.
So when we turn into a corner, you can actually measure the angle of the turn by just observing the wheel. So we're going round an easy corner at the moment, and you can see the top of the wheel is just slightly to the left. Well, when we're filming, that actually is on the video, so people can see that.
400, above the line, up mid, turn. Square left, narrows. 40.
Because the Pattersons are hyper-aware of factors like distances, they look at the world differently from ordinary people.
You can't stop yourself. If I would get a taxi up from the airport, and I'm saying this to the taxi driver, 150 yards, turn square left, and then 60 yards, turn square left, and the poor taxi man's looking at me like I've got two heads on. He just can't take this in.
Caution, medium left into square right plus over mud.
I'm not even awake yet.
Alison Leavis is in the lobby of the hotel where the Cork 20 rally is headquartered.
Everyone's times are listed, official times now to start the rally.
She's looking at sheets on a notice board telling her what time she and Adrian are out on the stages.
So we're out at 8:30 on the button, and there's 30-second intervals between every car. We're just about to go into the driver's briefing there now.
Oh, to arrive at control in this one, and it's not on the cab.
The hotel ballroom. The drivers and co-drivers gather for a safety briefing.
And first, I'd like to ask Dr. O'Brien to say a few words on safety briefing.
The first thing is, after an accident, is somebody breathing? The commonest reason for somebody not breathing is their head has fallen forward. And very gently, moving their head back can open their airway and allow them to breathe. If they're bleeding, and you see blood coming out, you put direct pressure on the point of bleeding. Don't take anything off, put direct pressure.
And then to the beating heart of the rally, the service area, located in the old cattle mart in Fermoy.
I think it's actually a magical place. It's the first thing on a Saturday morning, you can feel the buzz and the excitement and the adrenaline and the nervousness of the drivers and the co-drivers as they head out to the first aid. It's a great place to be. I really like coming here. But this is where everybody comes. TV crews, catering. General public will end up in service park.
While the mechanics work on the rally cars, they're surrounded by onlookers.
See where she leads on it.
These two local men are watching a mechanic underneath one of the cars.
Changing pads, that's it. Brake pads. Talking everything, making sure that everything is tight up. I'm just interested in your fatty around.
The service area is a wide open area. In the centre are the rally cars and their teams. Around the outside are mostly food vans and merchandising vans.
We do the top rally drivers' clothing.
This man is selling rally jackets with logos and drivers' names on them.
Declan Boyle, we do Donal Kelly, who's leading the rally today. We make all their clothing and we sell it to the public.
He also sells model cars.
And then that's the old Ford Agni, so it is. The old type Ford Agni and the Mark 1 Escorts in it as well.
The generators is the biggest one. There's always the sound of a generator going somewhere. Small vans with generators going at the back. Burger vans, generators going at the back. There's always the sound of a generator going off somewhere. As you walk around the service area, the fans are obviously enjoying the buzz of the event. But there's another reason people are here. And to an outsider, it can seem a really strange reason.
The people come for the noise. They come to see cars crashing as well. Anyone who believes that people go to a rally to stand on the ditch and watch a car on a rocket sled on rails go through, they don't. They want the cars to fishtail, as they say. They want them to crash as well, because obviously they want the guys to be all right in the car, but no, they want crashes, you know, and that's what we're here for.
Alison and Adrian are ready. They're about to leave the service area to go to the first stage.
Car 77, 932.
They're in class 11F. Honda Civics, basically, with ordinary engines. They don't think they'll do much this weekend. It's a new car for Adrian. He just wants to get it home.
Oh, well, when it's the first day out in the new car now, I'll be hoping to go well. Yeah. Like he says, he's going to take his time and learn it, but I don't know. I'd say that could change once it's 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, go, you know.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, go.
16, small crest.
Alison and Adrian aren't the only members of their team. There's a third person, their mechanic, Skibbereen man, Ian.
A lot of it is a social thing. Go to any of the prize givings and you'd see that.
Yeah.
Late nights and early mornings. Yeah.
Alison and Adrian are amateurs, and so Ian's setup is a bit forlorn-looking compared with the professional teams. Professionals have big trucks with workshops on board and canopies to protect the teams of mechanics from the weather. Ian, on the other hand, is here on his own with an ordinary white fan.
We get out of most things, like. We get out, yeah, something detrimental now, gearbox, engine, stuff like that. No, you're not going to be able to fix it. Like, we don't have, maybe the bigger boys have a lot of the stuff, but we don't. Do you know, within reason, we can fix most things.
Actually, it's not such a huge disadvantage having a small operation in rallying. It's in everybody's interest to keep as many cars on the road as possible.
Everybody kind of bunches together and gives them a hand or gives them a push. And
have you got a spanner?
Yeah, have you got this and have you got that? We had a car there, rallied late a couple of years back, burst the gearbox. We just gone down by the Glen Eagle, gearbox seized. Yeah. So I towed him as far as Park Farm and rang Adrian and a couple more, and they pushed him in. Then he finished the rally because of that, you know? Yeah. You have to stay together, especially when you're down the back of the crew.
Right, two left into one left. 400 up the middle.
Being a co-driver is hard on the voice. The noise inside rally cars is deafening. This is the sound from a microphone strapped inside Alison and Adrian's car. To save weight, they've ripped out all the seats and the soundproofing. This is what your average family car sounds like, just as a metal box. You can hear every bit of gravel hitting the underside of the car. Now, looking at rallying from the outside, you wouldn't class it as a family sport, but you'd be surprised.
Hello, my name's called Jill. I hope everybody has a nice rally in Cork, and I hope they try all their best to get to the finish.
This is the Carney family. The mother is Maureen. Her husband is rallying this weekend.
Mitsubishi Evo 9.
Maureen and her husband have chosen very particular names for their children.
It's Colin McRae, yeah?
Colin McRae?
Yeah.
Really?
She's named after Colin McRae, yeah? She's carrying well the name, yeah? It's
okay, so your kids are named after...
Formula One driver and rally driver,
so
yes.
So it's Colin?
Colin, like Colin McRae, you know?
And
Henri... like Henri Toivonen,
yeah.
And Gilles Villeneuve.
Villeneuve.
And the dog is Seb, like Sebastian Loeb. Senna, like
yeah.
Ayrton Senna.
Yeah.
That's it after
and when he suggested when he suggested to you that we're going to name our kids after racing drivers, you were okay with that?
We were trying to find French connotation name, yeah? So, yes, I was, yeah.
But Henri Toivonen,
it's good,
is
it's
close
hero.
Yeah.
It's good to have a name.
Do you enjoy coming to rallies?
Yes. It's great, I was saying, it's great to be all together as a family.
Yeah.
And it's an event, and it's nicer to be outside than inside watching TV. Or.
Yeah, so you're 2 days here in the car park with your children.
No.
They don't look bored, but do they get bored?
No. Well, we've got activities, but then we'll go and we meet the people we know from the service. So it's a family thing, everybody knows each other.
94, 95 and 96 are the last.
Cars are coming back to the service area. On the way in, their times are checked by a volunteer in a high-vis vest.
I was used to rally myself, so I'm giving something back from whenever I used to do it. So it's one of those things that's in your blood, you can never get out of it if it's in your blood.
Sure. Sounds like we've got the leaders coming in now,
we have
so you've got work to do. The two leaders coming in now. Darrell Reardon is the first guy in. He's a four-time champion. He's won the last four. So he's going to stop at the timing boards. They're going to wave him in now. And the co-drivers will then give the cars in. Behind them is the current champion, Donna Kelly. And Brian is here. Brian Patterson's here. You'll hear him getting some idea from the drivers.
Brian Patterson, you'll recall, is the man who sells the pace notes to the co-drivers. This morning, however, he's doing some quick turnaround journalism. He's got a small notebook and is writing down their times and any comments they have to make about how the race is going for them.
Is that your stage two time?
7:25.
Particularly any technical issues they're having.
Did you get the intercom working?
Sorry?
Did you get the intercom working?
We tried. We put on Kevin's helmet and it's better now. Okay.
We're just trying to get a wee comment from each of the drivers and then just weave it all into a story.
The stories Brian is seeking are for what must be the most remarkable little publishing operation in Irish sport, Patterson's Rally News.
Time 13:12.4.
Brian is now back in the service area with his notebook.
Second, car 2, Donna Kelly, 13:13.1.
He's sitting in a small grey van with his wife and daughter-in-law.
8th is car 7, Stephen Wright, 1412.4.
This is another part of the Paterson business, a sort of mobile newsroom.
They were in a bit of a tiz because Connor was having to jump out and go back. He said he was having trouble with the fans.
OK, we'll come back to that then. That's good.
So car number 1?
Yeah.
Brian's wife, Liz, is on a laptop. He dictates his notes to her.
So if you just roll it across the page, Liz. Third is car 4, Melvin Evans.
She then posts the information on social media and sends it to a printer in the back of the van. This is used to print out a newsletter. The newsletters are then hung up outside the van for teams and drivers to take so they can follow the progress of the day. During the rallies, the Pattersons publish several newsletters a day. They're contracted by the rally organisers to do this.
1412.4.
Yep.
9th is car 18, Padraig Duffy. 1423.8.
Alison and Adrian are back off their first stages in their new car.
You hear Alison, you're smiling. How did the first two runs go?
Good, good, no major issues. First stage was nice, he was cautious enough, I suppose.
Yeah, we're enjoying it. We're definitely way off the pace, but we don't want to be on the pace, as I say, because they have 2 days to get the feel of the car.
Yeah.
So we don't want to be stuck at a hedge in the first couple of stages or anything and get the feel of it. I like the car, yeah, it's good car.
Okay, how are you getting on the first two stages?
Good,
okay.
Yeah, she's in great form. She's, she's starting to figure out what I like in calling notes and...
Well, that is a part of it, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, and it takes time, It's like a relationship afterwards, isn't it? Yeah.
You with the red hat? Are you going out or coming in?
No, I just want to go back.
We'll go back, so go on. You're on the side of the red tape, not supposed to be.
As I said before, hanging around the service area is great fun, but rallying is about speed and driving skill, so you really have to get out on the course at some stage.
We lost the rally because of this junction.
This is a corner on a small country road in North Cork.
Only permitted people here.
The marshals are urging spectators off the roads and into the fields.
It's a restricted area, there's red tape, there's bales. Cars are coming around facing here, go back out of it. You'll see nothing. If we stop it, you'll see nothing.
Alison and Adrian will be passing here at some point.
Go back. You'll see nothing, you'll be going home.
One man is guiding people into a field, telling them the electric fence is harmless.
It's all right, there's no current in it.
It turns out this is his field. He's standing here with a neighbour.
It is, yeah, there's no current.
Remember I said to you that spectators come not just for the speed and skill of rallying, but also to see the cars going out of control. Well, this is a good example. You could hardly find a more picturesque spot to stand. Dry stone wall, beautiful old trees shading you from the afternoon sun. The North Cork countryside sloping away to the mountains in the background. But the local men aren't impressed by this vantage point. They say this bend is not great for rallying. It's not fast enough.
You think?
I'd prefer to see a bit of speed. And
just the one below, I don't know, down the road this morning, there's a fall going down recently. You see him driving down the hill.
Yeah.
She's there desperate, man.
I'd love to see a bit of speed and a fella banging maybe the other in the wall of it. As long as he wouldn't come in here to us. No, they wouldn't knock the wall down. That's a solid wall. I wasn't the builder today. I wouldn't sit in the passenger seat anyway with any one of them, no. I might drive one of them out, but I wouldn't sit in the passenger seat.
Do you think you'd be quick enough?
Huh?
Would you think you'd be quick enough?
Well, I would maybe 20 years ago.
Five left and two right, 100 up the middle.
We're halfway through the day's stages and Alison and Adrian are doing better. He's travelling faster, taking a bit more chance with the car.
That's the leaderboard in, Liz. We'll do a bit of chat. Thankfully, weather conditions here in Fermoy are good.
Back in Patterson's van, the news is still coming in.
No fog, and the top drivers had a good run through the opening 12.1 kilometres.
That was good.
Alison and Adrian are back in the service area.
Good, yeah, now we're into it now. Yeah.
Is he pushing it, or is he still bedding in?
he was like, yeah, there isn't much more in it there.
He's got the rhythm.
Yeah.
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 Over on the other side of the service area, another car has come back in off the stages. This is the car belonging to Gus Carney, the father of the children named after racing drivers. The children are waiting with buckets of water and sponges. Rallying relies on sponsorship, so as well as keeping the car mechanically ready, the teams have to make sure the car is clean so the sponsor's logo can be seen in photographs. That's why when Gus Carney comes back into service, his children don't ask him about how the race is going, but how the car is looking.
Daddy?
Yes, buddy? What's up?
It's your car, Daddy.
A little bit. We'll have to wash it this time, will we? There's a whole family involved here. We have a whole family, but my brother is out in the car as well, and if all the kids are, they'll help out and they'll get the sponges out now and clean the car.
Gus's co-driver is Tommy Hayes, but they don't buy pace notes. They write their own.
It's only €2 for the pencils and the rubbers in Tesco. But it really depends on trust between the driver and the navigator. It's not straightforward and everything is personalised.
There's one on the next loop of... Super stages. Tommy has marked as shitty, which is a new note for me. But anyway, it's a particularly dirty section as well, coming up out of the road. There's water just carrying down along the road, and we just have to be very cautious on it.
Like, we would have 4 left minus over bump at hedge. I think that's where maybe the man on the street can click with him. Like, if he spots the hedge, oh, that's what they mean by 4 left minus.
5 left tights to a 4 left 60. 5 left tights to a 4 left 60.
Fast 3 right, 130. Fast 3 left.
This is another co-driver reading his pace notes.
3 left into 4 R.
But these aren't just for his own use. This is Killian Duffy. He, like the Pattersons, also sells his riding notes to other co-drivers.
And then subscripted to be over gravel. So it's just to tell them don't cut over gravel.
He's a world championship co-driver.
I began selling pace notes in 2010, I suppose. I was a secondary school teacher up till 2009 in Dublin. And I gave up teaching to go co-driving, and it's a strange sort of way to make a living. You know, sometimes you have a lot of work and sometimes you have no work. I mean, you're used to being paid every 2 weeks by the Department of Education. It's difficult to go to be paid every few months. So I was basically, we'll say, unemployed at the time, and I seen the opportunity and I took it. And thankfully, 5 years later, it's going brilliantly.
Just tell us about your co-driving. You're out in the Middle East a lot, aren't you?
Yeah, I suppose I would be the Middle East I'd be associated with a lot. There's great job satisfaction out of it because you know that the timing of your notes is critical and just giving the driver the confidence to push on. And when you come to the end of a stage and you know you really click together, that's where the buzz comes from. You know, one of the best moments for me at the finish line of Rally Australia, because all the Irish in Australia, there was Mayo flags. There was Irish flags at the stop line the last stage, and I have it on the in-car cameras. We pull up with the stop car and see guys in Mayo jerseys and Irish flags. It was amazing. And all guys I'd know, you know, they were all guys that were living in Australia, had come up to the rally to support us. It was fabulous, like, it was brilliant.
6 left over crest. Over jump and along 6 left, Brady stay middle care tight, 5 left plus for
one. Another, like Killian Duffy, doing well abroad is Kerryman Paul Nagel, co-driver and navigator in the World Rally Championship.
Flat right over crest. 105 left minus.
I never had the desire to drive for some reason. Anywhere I went to the rallies with my mates or my parents or anything, I used to just grab the map for some reason. I wouldn't jump into the driver's wheel, I'd grab the map. My dad used to do a bit of co-driving, so I used to watch the videos at home and go to him. I used to see his pace notes at home, see all this.
And we don't hear a lot from the co-drivers. The only time you hear is anything really about the co-drivers when they start blaming the navigator for something that's gone wrong. Does that annoy you?
Yeah, you get used to it. I'm used to it now. Yes, the driver gets all the credit, but he does get all the flack too when things are going bad and you have a bad season.
It's mid-afternoon of the Cork 20 Rally, Stage 5, and Alison and Adrian are really settling in.
That was really good now. Everything. It all looked familiar in front of you.
Getting good. Much. The first two were very rusty now, but I enjoyed it.
We'll go back, Sork 1. You're inside the right tape, not supposed to be there.
We're out on Stage 6 at Ballynoe.
This is Guest, another Evo 9. He and Mikhail chasing the Irish Championship, the Group N Series. It's the first of the escorts. This is Phil Collins, man from Wales.
Thank you.
somebody inside the car will be, oh, shit.
Based on the time they were scheduled to start the stage, Alison and Adrian should be passing the corner about now, but there's no sign of the car. Finally, way down the field, they pass us by.
I think it's a little bit of side panel damage on that, isn't it?
Yeah,
they've hit something. So, yeah, just on the side of where the driver is, Adrian, looks like it's a bit of body damage, so I think they've had enough.
Or I can just sit inside for, like, jumping up for the daylight.
Huh?
Jumping up for the daylight. Is anyone looking to play?
Back in the service area, Adrian and Alison's car has been worked on by Ian, the mechanic, and Adrian.
What do you want to do? What?
Driver's side, driver's fault.
Come on.
No.
The front door is damaged and stuck shut.
We're under pressure.
Bit of drama?
Small bit of drama, yeah.
What happened?
Six right. Didn't quite make it around. And just where it landed was kind of on a bank.
Yeah. Just a bit of a bang.
We saw it coming. We were like, oh.
It'll tap out.
Yeah. Yeah. Joys of it.
They have to get it open.
On the days
Not only that, they're against the clock. They have to get back out on the next stage in the next 9 minutes.
Okay, well, Adrian is lying on his back with his 2 feet pressed against the door. So they're kind of considering now whether they should retire the car, call it a day, or take a chance and just...
The issue is, if one door is damaged and stuck shut, then if they crash and roll over onto the good door, Adrian and Alison won't be able to get out of the car.
Be careful, for fuck's sake.
Adrian's wife, Claire, has arrived and she's concerned.
I said, be careful, for fuck's sake.
What do you think? Should they be going out?
Nice, stupid.
You reckon?
Yeah, I know where he's coming from, like, but it's a bit daft going out with a door not opening, I'd imagine. If they're unfortunate enough to hit the other side, what are they going to do?
Yeah.
But anyway, no good talking to him.
You worried about him?
I'm always worried about him. Something I need to work on.
Sure, but you can understand as setting the car before.
Absolutely.
You can understand why they're going out.
Yeah,
now, can't
you? They're this far, like, they want to keep going.
I'm sure he'll be all right.
He'll be fine.
Yeah.
I need to go do some shopping and take my mind off of it.
Adrian and Alison's sister, Sharon, is here too.
Yeah, I always say it's my mom's prayers keeps them safe anyway. It'll be good, it'll be fine.
That, in the essence, is what rallying's all about in this country. You know, they're battered and bruised. They have two more stages to go. They're just going out before the timing clock finished. I don't even know if the door will open.
Back at the Patterson's van, the rally news printer will tell the story that Alison and Adrian finally finished fifth in their class in their Honda Civic.
Right, long 14, 3 left. 2:15.
They also stopped to help another driver get off the course at the end of the rally. And they finally got that door open.
Junction straight on 100. 2 left, 150.